Reading from the English Standard Version, John 8, 31 through 36, as follows. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if you, the son, sets you free, you will be free indeed." May God add a blessing to this reading.
Each week in this Mistaken Identity series, we're going to have a member of the congregation come and read. And don't worry, I've already told all those people. I'm not like picking people from the crowd or something like that. But thank you so much, Mr. Mark, as we jump in to this first part in our identity in Christ. In the Tom Hanks movie and Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Catch Me If You Can, how many have ever seen that movie? In that movie, we follow the true story of Frank Abagnale Jr., who was a young man who mastered the art of becoming someone that he was not. Here's a picture of it, yeah? And before he was 21, Frank had successfully posed as a Pan Am pilot, a doctor, and even a lawyer. He wore the uniform, he memorized the jargon, he forged the documents, and carried himself with confidence. To the outside world, he looked legitimate. People trusted him, respected him, and they deferred to him. But every identity that he claimed was built on a fabrication. Frank was not only forging checks, he was forging a self. And each new role gave him a temporary sense of significance and belonging. Yet when one identity began to unravel, he simply created another. And the uniform changed, the script changed, the name changed, yet underneath it all, he was still a young man running from insecurities and brokenness and the fear of being nobody. And we live in a world that's obsessed with identity. What makes us special? What makes us different? What defines us? Society is on a never-ending pursuit of finding ourselves, understanding who we are, who we present ourselves as. And when that identity doesn't seem to fit anymore, we change it. Because for the world, identity isn't grounded in anything except our feelings and wants and desires. Of all the shifting sands of this world, what is shiftier than our feelings? Our feelings are an incredibly shaky foundation to build our lives upon. Now, if you've ever been to a museum where you see famous art, we understand that we respect that an artist is the one that gets to define what a painting is. I might step back and I might say, "Well, that's a dog." But what do I know? I'm just some dude in sweatpants. I'm not the author of, I'm not the painter and the artist. And how much more true is it that we don't get to define ourselves? The artist and the creator is the one that defines us. I came across a book called Identity Theft, Reclaiming the Truth of Our Identity in Christ. And the topic is so needed today and so important that it inspired this 10-week series on what the Bible says we are and who the Bible says we are. I don't know if you've ever had your identity stolen. That's a frustrating and vulnerable thing to have someone take your money and take your information and steal your identity and use it selfishly. Especially if you've ever had like some weird purchase and you and your wife end up like arguing who did that. Like, 1,000 apricots? Is this you? No, why would I do that? Our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil would love to steal your identity. Your identity in Christ. To tell you lies about who you are and what you're worth and turn it and use it against you. To leave you confused and tired and weak. But the Bible tells us some amazing things about our identity. And these things are not based in feeling. They're not constantly changing. They are foundational and forever because they are planted in God's Word, what God says about us. So today I'm here to tell you something about yourself. If you are a follower of Jesus, then despite what it may feel like at times, you are free. You're free. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You are free. It's your identity. It doesn't always feel that way. Sometimes we feel stuck and bound and imprisoned by some things like our past. Some of us in this room have a very colorful past. I've heard some of y'all's past. It's interesting. It's a roller coaster ride. Failures and mistakes and sins and addictions and habits and hurts. And if I were to sit you down and tell you some of the things that I've done in the past, you would be like, man, that's crazy. These things that live in the back of our head and they try to drag you down to tell you that you're a failure and that you're a loser, and we're bound by those things. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck and bound and imprisoned by our upbringing. What side of the tracks that we grew up on, or where we fit in the social hierarchy. And we feel like an outsider, and that's all we'll ever be. Sometimes we feel stuck and bound and imprisoned by things that have been done to us. Traumatic things, hurtful things that are real, but we live in them. And these hurtful memories, they haunt us and they become our prison. But in Christ, you are not stuck in your past. You're not bound by your upbringing, and you're not imprisoned by what's been done to you. You are free. And that's what Mark just read for us there not long ago in John chapter 8. It'll be on the screen. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These people have been following Jesus around, and here he promises freedom to them if they would trust what he told them. And if they followed him, then they would find truth and freedom. Not stuck, not put in a box. A new you, a different you. One not weighed down by your past or what's happened to you. Free. Now for the Jews, that meant putting down their religious pride and their legalism and their judgmentalism that they were trapped in, and to find freedom and grace following Jesus. This freedom was from guilt and freedom from sin. Two verses later, from verse 31 and verse 34, it says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. This slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here it tells us when we practice sin, we get good at it. And despite what it may promise at first, sin enslaves us because it alienates us from a holy God. And the further we dive into the pit, the harder it is to get out. Our sin hurts us. We become slaves to it. But Jesus promises that we don't have to be bound by our past or our present sins. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be free. You are free. It's your identity. We have freedom from sin. And that doesn't mean that we'll never sin, because we're not in heaven yet. But you don't have to be a slave to sin. God promises to give you ways to escape the temptation of sin if you look for it and choose it. He promises freedom, and he promises help to get back up. The world and the flesh and the devil would love for you as a Christian to use the excuse that I can't help sinning. But Jesus told us otherwise. And if we abide in his word and follow him, we are free. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Go live like it. Your you that is in Christ is a new you. It tells us that in Romans 6:6. It says, we know that our old self before Jesus, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Our old us is dead, And we have to live in the new us that is found in Jesus and his resurrection. So refuse to define yourself by your worst moment. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Because of the cross, Christ bore our sins and our shame and our guilt, and he defeated it forever as he rose from the dead. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, he has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Here it says that we are free, but if we really choose to and want to, we can put that yoke, that weight of sin back on our shoulders, and we can choose to live in that. But why would you want to? Being free doesn't mean we don't fight. We stand firm against sin. We don't submit to sin. We don't put on that yoke of slavery back on our shoulders because Christ has set us free. So live in that freedom. We don't have to be enslaved to fear and hopelessness and the despair of this world. Because of Jesus, we are free to live in hope and peace and joyful anticipation that he will one day come back and set this crazy world right. You're free to avoid guilt and shame of sin and to enjoy good and wonderful things of God in this life. Family and friends and serving others and loving your neighbor and your enemy, being generous, forgiving others, and living in forgiveness. Freedom to worship with abandon and to know more about God and to get to talk to him. Our freedom in Christ also releases us from the bondage of endless religious activity in order to get God to love us. We don't have to earn God's love. It is freely given. And there's nothing that you could do to get God to love you anymore. And nothing that you have done that would make God love you any less. This is good news. But freedom isn't just for us. God wants all people to enjoy freedom. And that's why my freedom doesn't allow me to steal your stuff. Or to drive drunk, or to endanger others, or to sexually harass you, or to hit you with my car. I don't have the freedom to do those things, because you have freedom too. True freedom comes in the safety of boundaries that keep us from hurting ourselves and hurting others. And the Bible gives us these boundaries. The Bible places guardrails around some desires in us. We might not always agree with those boundaries. We might not always understand those guardrails, but we trust the God whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And you not only have freedom from sin, but you also have freedom to righteousness. Ephesians 4:21 says, "Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." You are not a slave to your old self with its old ways. You now have freedom to live in righteousness and holiness. But righteous doesn't mean holier than thou, or thinking you're high and mighty and better than everyone else. Really, what righteous means is doing things right and going around and setting things right in this world. Another word we use for that is justice. God is relentlessly against us hurting his creation, those that are made in his image. And God is against injustice and the oppression of human beings. God is a righteous God. And sin is the opposite of righteousness. And sin is a problem because sin hurts people. Sin hurts us. And the consequences of sin hurts the sinner and those around them. How many of you know parents that have a child whose failures and sin grieves them to the core? Our sin makes a difference to the people around us. How many of us know a husband whose sin hurts a family? Sin hurts us, and it hurts those around us. But God is loving and faithful, and this motivates his righteousness. They're all intertwined. And God made commandments as guardrails to keep us from things that hurt other people and that hurt us. God didn't just pick, out of a hat that murder is bad, and that lies are bad, and that adultery is bad. These are things that hurt us and hurt those around us. And God's ways are higher than our ways. It says in Psalms 11:7, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. We fall short of the righteous standard that he sets, but his faithfulness and love motivated him to make a way for us to get to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our righteousness was insufficient, so Jesus gifted us his righteousness. And if we are followers of Jesus, we now have constant access to God through his Holy Spirit. So not only are we free from sinning, but God also wants us to be passionate about righteousness as well. It's part of our calling to set things right in this world. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Psalm 35:10 says, "My whole being will exclaim, 'Who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them.'" God cares about setting things right because sin hurts us and others. And our God is a faithful and a loving Father. Now, there are two types of sin. And most of the time, we only think about this first type. And that one's the sin of commission. That means that we actively do wrong. But there's another type of sin. That is a sin of omission. That's when we fail to do what is right. And James 4:17 spells this out when it says, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." See, we are set free to live righteously. And that means not just not sinning, but actively doing what is right, setting the world right around us, bringing heaven on this earth. Now, you may feel like Frank Abagnale Jr., like you have put on 100 identities, but none of them are really you, who you're made to be. And you know what? You're probably right. Because you were made to live in the freedom that God bought for you, to walk in daily communion with God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And if you put your faith in Jesus as the only means of your salvation, then you stand in the freedom from sin and from your past and from your shame and guilt and freedom from religious pride. Jesus bought your freedom with his blood. Now live in it. In 2021, there was a new federal holiday called Juneteenth. And this is a reminder of the end of the terrible sin of slavery. And this holiday celebrates that on June 19th, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger of the United States Army arrived in Galveston, Texas, and he announced the end of the Civil War and the end of slavery. But what's incredible about this is that the Emancipation Proclamation came 2.5 years before, on January 1st, 1863. Can you imagine what that's like to get that information that you are free, that there is progress, that your life will change? But there's also a tragic aspect to the story. As people that lived in slavery for 2.5 years longer than they needed to because no one told them. The victory that they had longed for had happened, but no one told them. And Christ freed you, and you don't have to live in bondage anymore. We have victory in Jesus. And the people around you in your life need to know that Jesus has set them free, and there is freedom found in Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, then don't believe the lie that you are stuck in bondage and imprisoned by your sin. Live in the victory of Jesus. Set off every day knowing that you are not trapped. You are released, and you have a God that wants you to live righteously in freedom. If you're saved from your sin, then there are three parts of salvation. The first is justification, and that's a moment where you accept Christ and are declared free from your sin and its penalty. The Bible calls this saved or born again. It's like that judge dropping the gavel and you are declared innocent. That's justification. But there's another two parts, and the second one is sanctification. As we gradually grow to live more and more in that freedom, looking more like Christ day by day as we continually choose to live righteously. And this is a process of relying on God's power daily, and it takes intentionality. So you've got justification and sanctification. And then lastly, the last part of salvation is glorification. And that's when we see Jesus in the next life. And we're totally free forever from sin's presence, its temptations, and its consequences. And one day we'll get to be with him in heaven, and our salvation will be complete forever. So through salvation, we are set free. We're being set free. And one day we will be absolutely free from the presence of sin once and for all. And this freedom, it doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It gives us the power not to be enslaved by sin. Say this with me. Because of Jesus, I am free. All right, now say it like you're excited about it. You ready? Because of Jesus, I am free. You don't have to live in bondage anymore. That's who you are. That's your identity. This is something you need to tell yourself. I am free, and fight against the lies. Jesus said, if I abide in his words and I follow him, then I am free. It's who I am. And if Jesus said I'm free, you better believe I'm free. Once you put your faith in Jesus as your Savior, you are free. Your sins are behind you. As far as the east is from the west, you are deemed innocent because of the blood of Jesus. And Isaiah told us that though our sins might be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The old me is behind me. I have a new life. And that's freedom from sin and free to live righteously, setting things right in this world. That's who God has made you to be, to live in that freedom. Christ has set me free through the cross. So I have to stand firm and to submit to his power and to stay and avoid sin. And don't go back and put those shackles, the yoke of bondage back on. Live in that freedom of joy and his peace and his love and his hope. Freedom begins when we choose to believe him over our feelings. And it grows as we take small, obedient steps that line up with who we already are in him. So write that down. Because of Jesus, I am free. And put it on your mirror, put it in your car, put it as a reminder on your phone. I am free. Now live like it. This is not pretending. This is not positive thinking. This is your identity rooted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Put your old identity of your past and your sin, that's not you anymore. Put on righteousness because you are free. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the worship band comes. So often as Christians, we're tempted to walk around feeling defeated, walk around feeling like we lost. But when Jesus said it's finished on the cross, it was done. The victory was won. And we're not in heaven yet, so we'll still struggle with sin, but we don't have to. We're not enslaved by sin. And we can choose to wake up in the morning and put on the righteousness of Jesus and to live in the righteousness of Jesus and to take the ways of escape from temptation. There's not a person in here that still doesn't struggle with sin. And I don't know what yours might be, but you do. That thing that you feel like you can't conquer. Maybe it's pride, thinking you're better than other people. Maybe it's judgmentalism, where you choose to drop the gavel on people rather than give them the benefit of the doubt or to even bother to listen to their story. Maybe it's gossip, and you love the adrenaline rush of having things that you know that nobody else does. Maybe it's pornography, and you're stuck in that. And that is a real bondage that you have to approach head on. And if you need help with that, there are times where we need a brother and sister in Christ that we'll lean on, that will check on us and provide accountability. Maybe materialism is our issue, it's our problem, where we're constantly just engrossed with all of our stuff. And it's not always wanting to buy new stuff. Sometimes it's just about worrying about the stuff we already have. And we're just wrapped up in it. Maybe it's just apathy in our relationship with Christ. If we're honest, there are times where we've been closer to Jesus. That's not him that moved. That's us that walked away. But the wonderful thing about all these things and all any other sin that we might struggle with is that the Bible tells us that we are free. We don't have to live in those things. We just got to take off the yoke of bondage. And the way that we do that is not through effort. It's not through strength. It's by allowing Christ to do the work for us, to allow His Holy Spirit to move us and to guide us, and to say, Jesus, whatever you want me to do, to get free of this bondage of sin, God, I'll do it. I'll take the leap. I'll make a move. I'll take a step. I won't worry about being embarrassed. Because there's freedom on the other side. And nothing will make you feel better than losing the weight that you're carrying around. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. There's no better thing that you can do than right now choose Him. To accept the gift of His righteousness. Because He died for our sin on the cross. And it's a gift that's outstretched to you today. To accept the call to follow Him. To step out and to put your faith in what He did on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection. You can call out to Him right now, saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to You. I put my faith in what You did on the cross to save me. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today, and whether you just listened right now, and that's okay. You can call that out. The words don't have to be just like that. You personalize it to fit your story. But realizing you're a sinner, putting your faith on Jesus Christ and accepting the gift of His salvation. There's nothing in this world that's more important than that. If you do make that choice today, I'd love to know about it. If you'd write that on your connection card before you hand it in, just write, I choose Jesus, and put that in, because I'd love to talk to you about what's next on this road of being a Jesus follower. Let's stand to our feet. Altar's open today if you want to come and be prayed over, and you might say, well, if I come up there today, everybody's going to think I murdered somebody. No, we're not. We all sin. We all have struggles. We all have problems. And you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you come, you feel like God's calling you to do that, it's not like a magic place, but it is a place of togetherness. It's a place of surrender, and it's a place of movement and action. If you feel called to come today, whether it's about this or maybe it's about a loved one or somebody else, you come now and have your church family.